into teams of warriors, gladiators. Battle it out with no champion crowned. There is but one solution.
We're headed for Golden Point.
This, dear listeners, is the Golden Point.
Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of the Golden Point. I'm your host, Mac, and I'm here with my co-host, JC. Hi, JC.
Hey, Mac.
On the show this week, we have a new segment called Fans Verdict, then 60 seconds of trivia, we have an interview with Penrith legend MG, then we have question time, and we're going to finish up with a brand new game. Okay, JC, let's get started with Fans Verdict.
Okay, great. So what we've done through the week, we've had some polls on Twitter, which all of our listeners have been participating in. We've had some great results in there, and what we'll do, we'll just have a quick overview from us of what we think the choice we'd pick would be, and then we'll go and see what the fans chose. Okay. First one up, which NRL coverage do you prefer? Options being Fox and Channel 9.
I mean, Fox is it's the more professional coverage. It's definitely the go-to thing. It's sad because I miss Rabs. But I think with the simulcast, if I had both readily available to me, I'd choose Fox.
Yeah, I agree. I do choose Fox when I have the choice because I personally can't stand the Channel 9 coverage. I think it reeks of unprofessionalness. I'm not a fan of a number of commentators on there. I won't name names in case they're avid listeners and I don't want to turn them off the show. But yeah, Fox all the way for me.
It's funny because you think about how long ago they lost Andrew Boss. Yeah. And they still haven't replaced him.
No.
You know, they really haven't made an attempt to either.
If anything, they've just added more terribleness. Being nice to them. I think, look, they're trying this year. You can see that they're trying. They've added some more segments after games and whatnot. We're still seeing those Sunday games. They're still going straight to the news. 6 o'clock news is priority for Channel 9. So they cut straight to there. No post-game interviews with players or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it seems that our fans agree with us because we got Fox Sports got 84% of the votes.
Oh, wow.
And Channel 9 getting 16% of the votes.
Jeez.
So it's not overall that surprising. I think even if people don't enjoy Fox Sports that much, people are just so sick of Channel 9.
I'd actually really like to hear what people like about the Channel 9 broadcast, like what it is that makes them prefer it.
If I had to have a guess, I'd say Rabs is a big reason for that.
I think it'd be that and also be having to pay for Fox, I think.
Oh, yeah, but like I don't know if people put that into their vote. Like, I mean, if they did, that's fair enough, but I think most people are just looking at it as you know, the two coverages comparing what they offer.
Yeah.
The second question we had was, should the NRL have Golden Point or Golden Try?
I think this one's obvious. It's Golden Try. You know, it's I know in like the second half it's going to become a bit of a field goal fest because you know you can still get that point to win, but it still has just that more excitement. It means that if a team gets a penalty and they can take the two, it's not going to be the end of the game on this real sour feeling. It's going to actually continue on, everyone's going to be still excited, and there won't be the controversies.
Yeah, I don't think anyone enjoys the field goal showdown that we see in Golden Point in the last couple of minutes of a game. So I think Golden Try has to be the way forward. A lot of people want a draw as well. We didn't have that as an option in this this poll, but a lot of people still do like the traditional draw. Personally, myself, I like a result.
Yeah, I know I've had my team have a draw before, and it's such an empty feeling.
Yeah, it is. Like, you never want to lose in Golden Point or Golden Try, but at the same time, I just think as a spectacle, it's a lot more exciting with a golden feature in there.
Absolutely.
And our listeners have again agreed, but 80% Golden Try, 20% Golden Point.
Wow.
Not overall surprising. I think fans are also getting a little bit sick of Golden Point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next question up, we had, should the NRL consider playing a grand final outside of New South Wales? This is obviously on the back of teams like the Broncos and the Cowboys having such success lately, and obviously Melbourne being quite successful over the last 10 years too.
This one's a real tough one. As opposed to it just being a set thing, I'd prefer it to be just the team that finished higher on the ladder gets to take it to their state. So just so the Broncos came first, they would be able to take it to Suncorp. Whereas if it's a Sydney team, it goes to Sydney, or if it's the Storm, it goes to the MCG. You know, it's
Yeah, if we see it as a purely business decision, it's never going to be in Brisbane because they're going to be losing out on 30,000 people in the stadium. And the NRL, it's no reason for them to do that. Yeah. Personally, I'd really like to see a grand final at Suncorp Stadium if it was between the Broncos and Cowboys, or even if it was, even if one of those teams had the more successful year, it's a nice little bonus for them.
Yep.
But at the same time, we want the game to be getting big crowds to their finals matches. It's a hard one. I actually don't know which one I go for in this. I'm going to say yes.
I'd say yes.
Yeah, and this one was our closest one by a long shot. This one, no, 53% won, and yes, 47%. So it looks like the rugby league public out there is quite torn on this one.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, our second to last one was, as a spectator, would you prefer to go to a game in a big stadium or at a local ground?
Well, during the last round, I went to Belmore, as you did. And it's such a great feeling going to that local ground. You can hear the hits, you can feel the action. It does actually feel like you're involved in the game and the atmosphere's up.
Yeah.
Whereas I've been to games at ANZ where they've just got over 10,000 and you feel like you're the only person in the stadium.
Yeah.
And you want your money back.
Yeah, I think, we have both experienced many, many games at ANZ Stadium where there's 10,000 out of an 80,000 seat stadium. Like you said, the atmosphere is just non-existent. We've already been to a couple of games this year at local grounds, like Hart, Belmore, as you said. And the atmosphere is just, non-comparable to the big ones. Obviously, a packed game at a big stadium is fantastic, but outside of Suncorp Stadium and occasionally at Amy, you just don't really see that. So for me, we need to stick to local grounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fans again agreed with us. No. So suburban or local won with 68%, and the big stadiums came in at 32%. So there's still a few that like the big stadiums.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they might be a bit easier to get to and things like that in some cases. So
yeah,
you know.
And our last one had a few more options. It was, who would you choose as fullback for Australia? The options being Tedesco, Inglis, Dugan, or Boyd.
Okay, Tedesco is just, he's playing amazingly at the moment. I think you'd have to go in form. I could understand them going with Inglis, but I'd love to see Tedesco get his first jumper
in Australia. Personally, I'd love to see Tedesco there. I still feel like Inglis is going to get it, but I would love to see Tedesco there. There's no doubt he's not only the form fullback, but the form player in the competition right now.
What would you think if they put him on the wing? Do you think that would be...
Wouldn't like it at all. Horrible. We saw what happened to Dugan last year. I don't want someone like Tedesco to get his first major rep jumper and not be playing in the position where he excels. We don't even know him as a winger. Yeah. We don't know what he can do.
Exactly.
So there's no point in that. We've already got wingers to play on the wing. Either pick him at fullback or don't pick him at all for me.
Yeah.
The fans agreed again with us. But, it seems that our listeners are on the same wavelength as us. So we got Tedesco at 58%, Inglis coming in second at 29%, Dugan at 10%, and old Darius Boyd at 3%.
That's funny, because they're actually talking about Darius being the Queensland fullback, which... Yeah. Just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah. I actually think he's a better chance than Dugan at getting the Australian fullback, with Mal being the coach.
Yeah.
Dugan, he hasn't been in great form either, and obviously the Dragons aren't going too well. So that's
Fans verdict is done. That's the first time we've done this. We absolutely loved having the polls up and seeing what you guys thought. So we're going to keep on putting them up, and we'd love to hear what your responses are. All right, so we're going to move on to 60 Seconds of Trivia. This week, I'm going to be grilled by JC and hopefully not embarrass myself.
Alrighty, let's get things underway. I'll just start the stopwatch here. And we are underway. Who is the leading point scorer after 5 rounds?
Oh, Jared Kroger.
Correct. Which player has the most try assists this season?
Is it Tedesco?
No. Which two teams score the most tries in round 5?
Oh, Warriors would be one, and I'm going to pass on the second for now.
Okay. Yeah. Which two games in round 5 had 40 points scored, the highest total?
Okay, so the Warriors-Roosters would be one of them, and the other one, was it the Broncos game?
Nope. Okay. Which game in round 5 had the highest attendance?
Oh.
You don't need the attendance, just the game.
Yeah, okay. The highest attendance in round 5. I'm just trying to think back on the games. I'm going to pass.
Okay, we'll go back to which two teams score the most tries in round five.
The most tries? Yes. Roosters would be the other one, maybe?
No, score the most tries. So you gave us Warriors.
Warriors and...
Time is gone.
I'm bad at trivia.
That was okay. That was a little bit tricky. I think you did okay.
Yeah.
So we'll go through the questions again. We had the leading point scorer after five rounds, which you guessed was Jag Croker correctly. He's on 56.
Wow.
Helped out by 18 versus the Bulldogs. Which player has the most try assists this season? It was Jonathan Thurston with 8. Probably the next logical guess, I imagine. Which two teams scored the most tries in round 5? You correctly guessed the Warriors, also the Cowboys.
Oh.
Versus the Dragons.
Oh, that's right.
They both got 6.
I was trying to remember who they played, like, completely blanked.
Which two games in round 5 had 40 points scored? You correctly guessed the Warriors and the Roosters. The other one was West Tigers and Sharks. Both a very high scoring game.
Yeah.
And which game in round 5 had the highest attendance? One that you are not likely to see again this season. A Titans home game. Titans-Broncos, 21,000.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So what? Good to see the Queensland fans coming out for the derby.
Yeah, I didn't think the crowd looked that great on TV, but...
It was good. There was a little patch at the back there, which I think was missing some people.
I think you got focused on so much.
Yeah, but the rest of the crowd there was pretty good. So there you go. So, yeah. Two.
I've got one. Two every time I've done this.
No. You got one, sorry.
Oh, no.
You got a couple of halvesies there. You know what? I'll give you those halves. We're going to round up to two. You're on two.
All right. So it's two every round. I've got to beat that 1 week. Hopefully I can actually do it.
Yeah, that's good effort.
All right, so that's trivia done for the week. Now we're going to move on to our interview with MG.
Known as MG, Mark Geyer is one of the original enforcers in the world of rugby league. From the moment he made his debut for the Panthers in the late 80s, MG was terrorising opponents. Once even earning the ire of the King Wally Lewis, to which Geyer remarked, "I didn't know whether to hit him or get his autograph." Since retiring from the NRL in 2000, MG's been working in the media.
Hey Mark, it's Mac and JC from the Golden Point. All right, so we'll jump right into the questions.
No, so since retiring, you've had a long career in the media. Is that something you saw yourself doing?
I really didn't have a plan B once I finished footy.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough that one of the Penrith ex players had a couple of businesses going, Losers of Anavik, and I worked for he had a clothing manufacturing factory called Scabs Sportswear, and for the first six to eight months of retirement, I went out selling jerseys and sporting apparel out the back of the car.
So, oh wow.
Amazing.
So inappropriate language, which sometimes is my own little dictionary, my own little encyclopedia, but I know what I'm saying, and I think now people realise what I'm up to as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just talking more about on-field stuff, do you think the MG style of player is no longer having the same amount of impact as they would have 10 years ago? And why do you think that would be?
Yeah, you can't express yourself as much as I was allowed to when I played. It's a way to put it. There was rules and there was regulations, but it wasn't... It's kind of like modern society with mobile phones, you know. When I first started playing grade, it was only a Friday night TV game and a Sunday TV game, so if you didn't play on the air, then you wouldn't really know who... Whatever, nobody really knew who you were, so...
Okay.
I remember I was in my first year of first grade, it was 87, and I'm talking about this young kid from Canberra called Brad Clyde, come through the juniors, and I'd never seen him play until, I think, late 88, he came on as an 18-year-old in one of the games. These days, you know exactly who's where and how, because of the saturation that rugby league has, and all the cameras and stuff, the views and the bunkers and stuff. I would dare say that if you tried to do what I did back then, you'd be arrested these days. So thank God no one's trying to attempt it.
So you obviously you had a few run-ins with the refs in your heyday. Do you think the refs in today's game cop too much criticism, or do you think that we still have a way to go in terms of getting consistency in the calls?
That's a good question. Look, I think referees, when they sign the dotted line to become a full-time referee, which they all are now, I think they realise what comes with the territory. It's more a junior level that I can't handle, that when parents, you know, go off at kids who are, you know, sometimes younger than the kids playing.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that's a little to do with mine. I don't like you know, people living their sporting career through their kids, thus making the referee the scapegoat at every opportunity. So I think, you know, as long as it's cordial, as long as the referees don't ever feel threatened by a player. You know, I think they hold their own. I think today's referees are the highest standard. They are, they're fit, they're knowledgeable of rugby league, and more importantly, they've got thick skin, which they need to have.
Yeah, and that's very true. So what are your thoughts on current players and their off-field indiscretions? Do you think the NRL needs to crack down on that a bit more?
Again, I feel sorry for the modern day players is the mobile phone. You know,
yeah.
Everyone's now a reporter. If you've got a phone and a camera, well, you've got a reporter in your hands, and that could be any time of the day, any day of the week, wherever you are. So they've got to be a lot more in their game today. But saying that too, the education is a lot more structured and it's implemented a lot more than when I played as well. We kind of had a representative come out from the league once or twice a year to tell us about rules and regulations of what to do away from the game, and we had our own coaches and stuff to do that, but never were we under any threat from the public as far as filming of drinking sessions or stuff like that. So, but we were average wage, I suppose, back then was only about $75,000 too, so...
Wow, yeah.
Compared to today, we're up around the average wage for first grade, up around $300,000 to $400,000. So, I think, again, like the referees, you sign that dotted line, you know what comes with the territory.
Yep.
It's good, bad, and ugly. It's the good of it is obviously winning with your teammates, and the bad is losing and injuries, and the ugly is the off-field indiscretions, which I think will play rugby league forever.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, in 97, you're involved in the Super League with the Reds. Do you think in the long run, the Super League had a positive impact on the game?
Well, that financially did for me. That's for sure. I signed my first contract with the Western Reds in 1993, and I came in the competition in 95.
Yeah.
And I was on about $180,000 a year, I think, and that was good money back. That's 21 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's really basically come overnight and tripled everyone's contracts. Which you know, but I think the concept of having 10 teams and play them twice is a long term goal, I suppose, that everyone would try and strive for to make it as fair a competition as possible. But that would mean, you know, at least half of the Sydney clubs to amalgamate or relocate. And I don't think any of them are going to do that without a big tussle.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so just sticking on the topic of the Western Reds, do you think that Perth could be potential for another expansion for the NRL in the next 5 years or so?
Well, I think if there is an expansion in the game, they'll be the first cab off the rank. I think logistically, it sits well. They're 3 hours behind, so you could have the TV side of it would be perfect. It's a very... You know, I know that to our first game over there at the Wacker against the Dragons, we got 24,000 people. A lot of expats, Kiwi, Pommy, Aussie, even some South Africans who are right into the game over there as well. So obviously South Africa is only across the Indian Ocean from Perth. So I've got no doubt it would thrive given the opportunity. I know that they give them a token game every year over there, and usually South, so that team that play over there, and it's always packed, and usually always seems to be raining, but I'd like to see them given an opportunity to get back in the competition. Yeah, look, it's a long-term goal. If it means a team are relocating, in the future, it means that teams are going to fit a criteria to have a licence in the NRL, well, let's start getting the criteria happening. Because I think at the moment, I don't think we're ready for expansion because I don't think we can accommodate. We have to probably have a buy, and I don't think buys in the current TV deal are what the big boys in the studios want. So we'd need a team that have to either relocate or one would have to fold. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But look, to answer your question, I think inevitably within probably 10 years we'll have the same Perth.
Okay. Yeah. Great. So everyone in the media likes to create their New South Wales and Queensland teams early in the season, but we've got an Anzac test in about a month's time. Do you have any particular players that you'd like to see get their debut for the test match?
Look, I might be biased, but I think Bryce Carver's ready for picking. Yep. He's right. He's a clutch player. He's a kind of kid that at 21, he wants the ball coming to him. At the desk, and that showed yesterday against the Eels. He's big, he's strong, he's skillful. The only thing that he's lacking is consistency, which as a 21-year-old you can forgive him for. But I think that'll come. You know, that'll come the more he plays and the more he wins games for his team, like he did yesterday. That was just a 9 out of 10 performance from him yesterday, and without him they lose. So they didn't have many more. The back was great, but probably he's the only one who probably jumps out at me. I think Tedesco's pushing definitely for New South Wales berth. We hope to get Rudy Gerard or Darius Boyd at fullback for Australia. So I really think we're looking healthy this year. We picked the right team for New South Wales. It's just a matter of picking that right team. And I'd love to see it pick on form instead of reputation.
Yeah, absolutely. So, sticking with New South Wales, what would you say has been missing in the past decade?
We seem to play right into Queensland's hands. I think when we're picking blokes who can play front row, second row, lock, who don't really vary in size or strength or ability, plays in the Queensland's hand. We'll take kids out of the box, like the Cartwrights and Clemmers, and blokes with a bit of an X factor with them, but Glenn Blake Ferguson on one of the wings might be dangerous. I think it's Tedesco at fullback. I think we've got to pick a team that Queensland don't want to play against.
Yeah.
And I know that Tedesco, every time he touches the ball, defensive outfits basically crap themselves because you don't know what he's going to do. He's that quick and nimble. James Roberts, same. I put him in the centres. For New South Wales, for the sheer fact that he can score from anywhere in the footy field, like Steve Manoos and a bit like Michael Jennings 5 years ago. So, there's certainly players there that are saying pick me, but saying it and being picked are two very, very different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So both you and your brother Matt, you both played three Origins for New South Wales. You both won premierships. Is there ever a time at a family barbecue or something where you like to rub it in that you played for the Kangaroos and he didn't?
Not really, mate. I'm 7 years old and even a foot bigger, so it was always a moot point. He's a winger on the second row, so the wingers were the guys who got us our beers after a game. he carved out a beautiful career for himself, and wasn't wanted by Penrith back at the junior level. And rang me and Herb and said, "Can I come over and live with you for a while and play for local side over there?" And I said, "Of course you can." So at 18, he packed up and went over to Perth and played for the junior Reds for a year and killed it. And then I played first grade with him in 97 against the Poms when they were kind of a Super League country versus country. So then he went on to be, play call records at Storm and was one of their best club, and ironically now my oldest son has gone up to live with him on the Gold Coast to do the same, play with the Burley Bears. So,
oh, great.
He's up there in the system. His first game was on the weekend. He played in the team below the Bears, but just get away, I suppose, just a little bit of an adventure. And
yeah.
He wasn't enjoying his footy here in Penrith, and it's life's about enjoyment, whether you're playing footy or you're an accountant or you're a doctor. If you're not doing something you really love, it's no point doing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So you played a lot of your career at Penrith. What are your thoughts on Phil Gould's impact in the past 5 years there?
Oh, look, it's been profound. He's, while the silverware hasn't come, I think, if you look behind the scenes with the Centre of Excellence that's just been built, which is basically ensures that every junior player that comes through the club is well looked after. I think that he's given us a good reputation as a club that players want to come to, i.e. the Trent Burns and Peter Hickeys of the world. In short, I think that having Gus at the club has paved the way for most players to at least consider Penrith when negotiating with a new contract. And I think before Gus came along, that wasn't the case. Penrith would be low on the priority list as far as teams to play for, especially if you're a city boy or you're in Queensland or New Zealand. But I think now that the Gus is at the helm for how long, we don't know. It just gives us credibility. He's a big name in the game, and the fact that he's wearing his Penrith shirt around is just a status of stability.
Okay, that's fantastic. So that's all the questions we have for you today, Mark. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Good luck, boys, with your podcast. I hope you had to kick some butt. It's an absolute pleasure to have a chat with you.
Really appreciate it, OG.
Good on you, boys. No problem.
Thanks a lot. See ya. Thanks, man.
Bye.
Thanks. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Now we're going to move on to question time. So this is where we discuss the games of the upcoming round through questions and giving headlines or predicted headlines. Okay, I'll let JC kick off.
Okay, so we've got the Broncos-Dragons, first of all, on the Thursday night. So it's a game where we've got two fullbacks with an outside chance of getting the Australian number one jersey with Dugan and Boyd. Which player do you think will have the most importance for their team? Which player will be the most integral for their team, I'll say?
I would say it's got to be Dugan, just because he's, in terms of their 1-7, he's their best player. Actually, he's their best player overall. If he doesn't show up, they're not a chance at all. Whereas Boyd, he could have an off game, and I think the Broncos could still easily just run away with it.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that one. I don't see this one going in favour of the Dragons, though. So the headline I've gone for, a bit of an alliteration, which we always like on the Golden Point, Bennett's Broncos demolish Dragons.
Awesome. Okay, so second game is the Roosters and the Rabbitohs. That's on Friday night. So the question I have is, have the NRL made a scheduling mistake by having these two teams play each other twice in six rounds?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Very interesting one.
Because they usually play round one and last round.
Not sure why this year. We saw it a lot last year, actually, with a few different teams that played each other within a month or or 5 weeks. One I can remember is West Tigers Bulldogs playing in the back end of the season, which they played, I think, possibly within the same month or something like that. So I don't know why they do it. I'd imagine they get some kind of advantage out of it. I don't know what it is. Yeah. But, yeah, it's... For me, it's silly. I don't know the business decision behind it, but for me, it's silly. Especially yeah. this part of the year with the Roosters going the way they're going.
Exactly.
They miss an opportunity where down the line, Roosters will have a better team and things like that. They obviously didn't foresee that coming, though. So
yeah.
It's unfortunate, and that's a shame.
I think it's also a case where they could potentially get a big crowd there, but they're not going to now. Like with the form the Roosters are in, like the fans don't technically go to games all that much anyway. So... It's really, I think it's going to be a low crowd.
Yeah, I don't see there being a huge crowd there. I mean, the South fans generally turn out, so we'll still get a decent crowd, but it's not going to be a special crowd.
Yeah. Okay, so the headline I've gone for, alliteration again, Rabbitohs Rabbage Roosters.
Yeah, nice. So. See that happening for sure. Okay, next game up is the Eels and the Raiders. There's a fair few Raiders players that are standing out at the moment. We talked about quite a few of them on the podcast. You've got your Aiden Caesars and your... yeah, Blake Austin's, your Josh Hodgson's, even Jack Wyden's got quite a mention this year. Mm. Is Jared Croker this season's most underrated Raider?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say so. I feel like every season he's like the most underrated Raider. Yeah. Like just no one talks about him, even though he's consistently a good player. And, you know, someone that, with all his origin talk, is the forgotten man again. You know, it's... I would say he's one of the most underrated players at that club.
Yeah, well, I can't think of anyone that's more underrated than him. He is so important to that team, and he brings about, like I said before, he scored 18 points for them on the weekend. So his goal kicking is one thing, he's great in defence, great in attack. I think he's got to be talked about when we eventually need to talk about Origin. Not right now, in a month or two. When we need to talk about Origin, I think he's a player that needs to come up, because if he doesn't, it's just unfair. He's been a consistent, solid player for quite a long time now. In saying that, I'm going to use another player in my headline just because it's comically funnier. I think the Raiders will come out on this one on top. I think they're on fire at the moment, and I've gone for all hail Caesar.
That's awesome. Okay, so the next game up is the Warriors and the Seagulls. So my question is, should Dylan Walker move from 5'8"?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I thought their attack was one of the worst attacking performances I've seen in quite a while. Manly on the weekend versus South. They had so many attacking sets on South's line in the last probably half an hour of that game, and there was just nothing happening. Appy Korosau was playing fantastic, and if it wasn't for him, I don't know if they would have scored a try. Dylan Walker, he's not a 5'8", he's a centre.
Yeah.
Move him back to the centre. Move Jamie Lyon to 5'8" if you want. I'm not a huge fan of that, but it's the better option at the moment.
Yeah. So what do you do long term, though, in terms like... So Cherry Evans comes back, do you just drop Korosau and leave Lyon in the halves?
Yeah. No, look, Korosau played a great game, but it's... let's see how he goes over the next couple of weeks. But I'm not sure if his type of gameplay will work with Cherry Evans. They're both running halfback when they play halfback, and they don't need two of those players. They need they essentially need someone to fill in for Kieran Foran. You don't want to always harp on and stick to the players that you have been so successful for you over the last couple of years. But that worked for Manly, why not try and replicate it in a way? Jamie Lyon's a different player, but he's a very similar type of 5'8".
He can actually take pressure off in terms of kicking and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So the headline I've gone for is Warriors click as Seagulls crash.
Well, I'm not sure about that one. In terms of the result of the game, I think it could go either way. Warriors looked quite good, I guess, versus the Roosters. Their defense was still a bit lacking, but their attack was quite on fire.
I just think they're building. They're having a bit of a run.
I can definitely see it happening. Panthers Cowboys is up next. So there's quite a few Panthers players that are being touted again as Origin candidates. When we're in round six, so I'm going to focus on that at the moment because I'm obviously quite negative against the media hyping up Origin this early in the season. And one reason that I don't like it is I find it puts a lot of unnecessary pressure on players, especially younger players that they're saying will make their debuts. So my question is there a concern that Origin talk will get into the heads of a few younger Panthers players?
There was actually an article about that, I think today or yesterday on NRL.com, that it was Mansour saying that they're not really focusing on that, they're focusing on the game, which every player says. I would be worried about it. I think come close to Origin and there's more talk and there's more pressure on it, I could see Bryce Cartwright, you know, trying to throw the extra offload, or Matt Moreland just trying to get involved too much and trying too hard. And it's credit to them trying to, you know, get to that next stage in their career, but the added pressure that the media brings on that it's unfair on them. And yeah, so I think potentially it could.
Yeah, I've chosen this question just for this game because it was relevant with a few Panthers players, but I think it's relevant across the league. There's so many players, and not only just rookie players, trying to make their debut in the Origin Arena, but just we saw there was an interview with Josh Reynolds a couple of weeks ago where he said that last year he thinks the Origin pressure got to him, and that's why he kind of snapped and he got a couple of suspensions, he got an injury in there, and he obviously lost his spot in Origin. So I just think it's nothing's going to stop the media. It doesn't matter to the media if it affects them, but I don't like these former players coming out and everyone creating their 17 in round 1, 2, 3, 4. It's just it's silly. So anyway, the headline I've gone for, I think the Panthers will cause a bit of an upset in this one.
Okay.
They've been very, very close in most of their losses this year. So they're a better team than what their record is suggesting right now. So I think the Cowboys, after thumping the Dragons, are going to come down a little bit from that. And I think Panthers will get the win. So I've gone, classy Cartwright causes chaos.
Oh.
Four C's.
I could definitely see it happening. That alliteration. So next game is the Sharks and the Titans. So the question I have is, do you think both these teams will play finals footy this year?
I think the Sharks will. I think the Sharks definitely will. Okay. Titans I'm not 100% sure on yet. They looked good against Brisbane, but they definitely didn't look like a top team.
Yeah.
They did really well to stay with them. I think they're a team that's got so much heart. And, I mean, you've got to consider they're missing David Shillington, who's obviously a favourite of ours on the podcast.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, I guess, fully gauge how they went against the Broncos, but I can definitely see it happening. I don't know if I'd say they definitely will be, but I can absolutely see the Titans and the Sharks both making the top eight.
Yeah, and for people that are tuning in this week for the first time, we had an interview with David Shillington back in, I think it was episode 2, and he actually made a point that he was playing a Friday night game and he was really excited about it. So I think that sort of gave a bit of insight as to why he took that so hard. He was so upset about it.
Yeah, it was devastating to see.
It really was. I felt so sorry for him.
You see these players when they get an injury, either during the week or just before the game, and they're sitting there in the stands, they're laughing around, they're on their phone, looking around, and, you know, it's fine, they can do whatever they want. But it's really contrasting when you see how David Shillington looked in the sheds just before that game started. He was just devastated.
He was,
It means so much as a fan of a club to see that it means that much to your player. You want to see that. You want to see that emotion there. So unlucky for David Shillington. Let's hope he gets back soon and is on fire again, scores another try.
So the Titans have named young Cameron Cullen to take the place of 5-8 as opposed to Greg Bird this week.
Yeah.
Assuming it sticks that way, I've gone with the headline, Young Titans Halves Provide Spark.
Cool.
So I actually think they're going to be a bit of an upset there.
I feel bad for Cullen not getting the nod last week.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was, I don't know if he got told earlier in the week, but we didn't get told until game time. And every other report was suggesting he was going to make his debut. So let's hope he found out earlier than us, because it would have been pretty devastating just before the game, get the nod and say, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Okay, so next up we've got the Knights and the Tigers. Is there a chance that the Knights will get the win with this one, with Farah's Tigers not performing too well?
I'll tell you what, the Knights got so much closer than I would have ever thought against the Storm. And like the Warriors, I think things could be coming together. Not as much so, like, I don't see them going on and doing great things. But I think this is the week. I think this is where they get that first win, and it's just the monkey off the back, and they feel a bit better about themselves.
Yeah, I hope so. They played really well against the Storm, really well, and I was so unlucky not to get the win there. So I think they will get it, and the headline I've gone for, oh, what a night.
Okay, the final game of the round is the Storm and the Bulldogs. So last week, as we said, the Storm almost got beaten by the Knights, and the Bulldogs came out a little bit scrappy and lost to the Raiders. So my question is, both teams had arguably bad games last round. Who will rebound?
It's hard. I want to hope the Bulldogs, because Des Hasler will give them a very hard time again in training, because I don't know, there was a video that came out, and I don't know if you saw it, in the sheds at, I think it was half-time, might have been full-time, yesterday, because the sheds are actually down the bottom there at Belmore, and he was giving them quite a
he would be a scary man. I didn't see the video, but he's been known to rip doors off things when he's angry.
For the Bulldogs' sake, I hope that it's them. Yeah, it could be either team. I think the Dogs are one of those teams that are very hot and cold, and one week they can smash the Rabbitohs, and one week they can lose to the Raiders. So I think the Dogs will. I think their forward pack will stand up. That's what they were missing when they played the Raiders, and it's rare that they have two bad games, their forward pack. So if they hit their marks, then the Dogs can come out on top.
I think it'll be a close one, but I think the Dogs are going to come on top. And I've gone with the headline, Bulldogs not scared of Storm's thunder.
Nice.
All right, so that's question time done for this week. Now we're going to move on to a new segment. It's a segment we call...
Who's got more followers on Twitter?
All right, so the way how this works is essentially we've looked it onto Twitter, and I've picked 8 players for JC to try and work out who has the most Twitter followers. I've done a bit of a bracket where we're going to go through. I'm going to name 2 players. He has to take a guess. Then we'll move on to the next one. And we're going to work our way down until we find out of these 8 players, who has the most.
So, top 8 elimination.
Exactly. Basically. Yeah.
All right.
So the first 2 pairing we have is Inglis and Jack Whiten.
Okay. I'm going to go with Greg Inglis.
That is correct.
Yeah.
All right. So the next 2.
You don't have any numbers? We just get...
Not at this stage, because they'll be in the next bracket.
Okay.
That's fair. Yeah, I'll go through at the end. So I have a bit of an origin rivalry here in terms of competition.
Okay.
Matt Moylan against James Tedesco. Who wins in the Twitterverse?
That is tight. They're both young guys. They both, I'm guessing, like their social media. I can't say I've looked at either of their pages any time recently. So that is very, very tough. Tedesco's been very popular this year, so he might have snuck a few more than Moylan. I'm going to go Tedesco.
That is correct as well.
There you go.
So now we have a former Rooster against a current Rooster.
Okay.
So we have Roger Tuivasa-Sheck against Blake Ferguson.
Okay. Ferguson obviously has the New Zealand side of things plus the Rooster side of things.
Do you mean Tuivasa-Sheck?
What did I say?
You said Ferguson.
Oh, sorry.
The thing is, Ferguson New Zealand?
Tuivasa-Sheck obviously has the New Zealand branch of the Twitterverse. In his side. He's younger though than Ferguson. Ferguson's been around the scene a bit longer, so he's had more of a chance to build a following. Probably would have got a few back in the day when him and Dugan decided to have a few cold ones on the roof. But I'm gonna go to a Vasashek.
That is incorrect.
Ooh.
Yeah. So now the last 2, Michael Morgan against Ben Barber.
Okay. That is a hard one.
Yeah.
Barber's a more known player. He's been around longer. Morgan, I don't know if I see Michael Morgan as being a big Twitter user. I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about the guy, but he doesn't seem like the kind of guy. I know Barber's active on social media. I'm going to go Ben Barber.
That is correct. Okay, so bracket 2. We've got Inglis against Tedesco.
Inglis, Tedesco. Inglis.
That's correct.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Inglis has a pretty decent following.
That's Ferguson and Barber.
Ferguson and Barber. Ferguson's a hard one. I don't know how to pick Ferguson. I wouldn't have thought he would have been more than Tuivasa-Sheck. So, that's a real tough one. I'm gonna go with Benjamin Barber.
Correct. Ooh. So the final, Greg Inglis or Ben Barber?
Greg Inglis.
Yeah. I realised I shouldn't have put him in because he's such a superstar, but...
Plus, the Souths have the biggest membership base, so they've got the most fans out there that are willing to support their players in whatever means it is, so I'd imagine he'd have a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so starting off from least to most, we had Jack Whiten with 1,474 followers.
Yeah, obviously not very active.
Yeah, I guess not, yeah. I also from Canberra, so people are probably like, who's Jack Whiten?
True. They'll know soon enough, I'm sure, with the way Canberra goes.
That's very true. Michael Morgan was next with 3,538 followers.
Yeah, okay.
And then we had young Matt Moylan with 6,250.
Okay, I definitely would have thought he had had more than that.
Yeah, and Tedesco wasn't much above him with only 8,761.
Are they, I don't know, are they active on there?
I didn't really have a look at their pages so much as just, yeah. Then we had Tuivasa-Sheck with 17,900. And then Blake Ferguson, only on 18,100. So close. But
got him with age.
Yeah, exactly. And cruises on the roof. Then Ben Barber with a whopping 55,200 followers, which I was amazed by.
That is a lot for Barber.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess people must like him. Like, he must just be someone that to search for on there.
he's going on the back of three clubs to support him. So, yeah, the Bulldogs fans would have jumped on, and then the Broncos fans would have jumped on. Now he's got the Sutherland Shire.
Yep. I'm going to let you have a guess for Inglis.
Okay. It's hard. I was going to say I don't think it'll be over 100,000, but it very likely could be over 100,000. There wouldn't be many NRL players that are over 100,000.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't.
Okay, I'm gonna go with 102,000.
That was so very close. 101,200.
Oh, we'll round up 102,000.
All right. All right. So that is a new segment for the week, a new game. We replaced 20 questions this week just to give that one a bit of a break.
Yeah. He'll be
back with a vengeance, definitely. So, speaking of Twitter, we are on Twitter. We're at @the_goldenpoint. So come and give us a follow on there if you haven't already. We're also on Facebook and Instagram as well. We do a thing on Instagram where we repost people's photos from the footy, and it's actually doing really well. It's really interesting to see the different angles, and I guess the photography skills of a lot of people out there are a hell of a lot better than me.
No, it is. It's great to see the fans' pictures and have a look through them. So, yeah, you can hashtag the Golden Point and we'll have a look at them. And if you... yeah, if you're posting some up there, we'll repost them on our page.
Yeah, fantastic. So that's the show, episode 6 done, and you'll hear our lovely voices in episode 7.
That's a quarter of the year done. Well, not including buys, 24 rounds for games-wise.
True, yeah, so, very true. You
know, buys don't really count in our brain here. It's only football.
Yeah, no. The Golden Point doesn't have a buy. All right, show's done. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
You've just listened to The Golden Point. Well done.